Hi, I'm Sam Payne, and before we start the show today, I wanted to share a special announcement. For years, we've heard from our listeners that they love the show and that they frequently use it as part of their kids' bedtime routine. And some of them have wished aloud that we had a show specifically designed for bedtime. Well, the Appleseed team heard you, and I'm happy to announce that we've launched a brand new podcast called Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes. It's hosted by storyteller and early childhood educator Stephanie Roff. And each episode is carefully designed with engaging stories and mindful movements to help young children not only get to sleep, but also to establish good sleep habits. It's great for kids to listen to on their own to wind down, but it also contains some simple ideas for parents to connect with their children during the bedtime routine. Here's a trailer to give you an idea of what Wink is all about.
Hey parents, does bedtime feel like a battle? Let me help. I'm Stephanie Roff, host of Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes. Each story has a built-in mindfulness moment to help calm busy minds and busy bodies, to make winding down easier for your little ones and for you. Subscribe now to Wink wherever you get your podcasts.
So search for Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe now. Now, here's the show. Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and have you ever felt bossed around? Maybe by an older sibling or a bigger kid on your street, or maybe even someone at work or school. Seems like part of growing up is coming to an understanding about the things that we get to decide for ourselves without being told what to do by someone else. Bill Hartley has a story for us today with a character in it who's getting used to that idea, which means everyone around her better get used to it too. The story is called You're Not the Boss of Me, and Bill told it to our terrific studio audience, and you get to hear it too. Here's Bill on the Appleseed.
Thank you, thank you. Once upon a time, there was a skunk family. There was a mom skunk, there was a dad skunk, there was a big brother skunk, there was a baby skunk, and there was a skunk in the middle, and her name was Charlene. And one day, it was the big brother's turn to set the table. It set it right there on the job chart, the parents' vain and futile effort to get their children to take responsibility for something. It was a big brother's turn, but he did not feel like doing it, because that's how big brothers are sometimes. So rather than do it himself, he turned to Charlene, the skunk in the middle, and said, "Hey, Charlene, set the table." Charlene, the skunk in the middle, looked up at the big brother skunk and said, "No." And he said, "I'm the big brother skunk. You're the skunk in the middle. Set the table now." And Charlene, the skunk in the middle, said, "No." And he said, "Set it now or else." And Charlene, the skunk in the middle, looked up at the big brother skunk and said, "You're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You might be the boss of you, but not the boss of me." And the baby skunk said, Just then into the room came the mother skunk. She should have stayed out of it, but she couldn't help herself. She said, "What's going on?" And before Charlene, the skunk in the middle, could explain anything, the big brother skunk said, "Mom, Charlene won't set the table." And without asking, without doing further research, the mother skunk turned to Charlene, the skunk in the middle, and said, "Charlene, you set that table right now." And Charlene, the skunk in the middle, looked up at the mother skunk and said, "No." "Oh." She said, "Charlene, I am your mother. You set that table right now." Charlene, the skunk in the middle, said, "No." She said, "Young man, you set that table right now or else." Charlene looked up at the mother skunk and said, You're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You might be the boss of you, but not the boss of me. And the baby skunk said, just at that moment, into the room came the father skunk, traditional skunk family. He said, what's going on? And the mother skunk said, dear, I do not know what to do. What is it, honey? It's Charlene, the skunk in the middle. Why, what's wrong with her? She won't set the table. Won't set? Yes, she will. Charlene, you get that little striped tail over to the table and you set it right now. Charlene looked up at the father skunk and said, no, you little stinker. Actually, true. You set that table right now, young lady. Charlene, the skunk in the middle, said, no, I'm the father. You set that table right now or else. Charlene looked at the father skunk and said, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You might be the boss of you, but not the boss of me. And the baby skunk said, the father skunk said, Dab-dab, I had it. You know, like when they are really bent out of shape, they cannot finish one sentence. And oh my, I had this. I'm calling the police. It's an option. He got on the skunk phone. He called up the skunk's police station. The skunk chief of police answered the phone. The skunk chief. Yeah, there's father skunk over on Skunk Lane. Yeah, I got a problem. Somebody breaking in your garbage? No, we do that ourselves, thanks. It's Charlene, the skunk in the middle. Yeah, she won't set the table. Won't set the table? We'll be right over. The skunk chief of police showed up in his black and white. All right, we get it. Knocked on the door. Who is it? Little pig, let me come in. Nobody. Oh, sorry. Yeah, wrong story. Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your long hair. Not by the hair of my chin. Ooh, that's really weird. Who is it? It's a skunk chief. Where you been? I got stuck in another story. Open up the door. Open up the door. Where is she? Over there. Up against the wall, Charlene. I'm the skunk chief of police. You set that table right now. Charlene looked up at the skunk chief of police and said, no. I got my skunk badge. I got my skunk stink gun. You set that table right now, Charlene, the skunk in the middle, said. No, set the table, you're under arrest. Charlene looked up at the skunk chief of police and said, you're not the boss of me, you're not the boss of me. You might be the boss of you, but not the boss of me. And the baby skunk said, that does it. You're under arrest. Put her in the car. They put her in skunk handcuffs. They put her in the skunk squad car. They took her down to the skunk police station. They booked her, and they took her in front of the skunk judge. Hear ye, hear ye. Odor in the court. Odor. Some kid sent me an email, said, why don't you say that? I said, I will. Skunk chief of police said, your honor. What do we got, chief? That's a tough case. Who is it? Charlene, the skunk in the middle. One of those. What'd she do? That's what she didn't do. She won't set the table. Won't set the table, I think she will, Charlene. I am the judge in this court. I order you to set the table. Charlene looked up at the judge and said, no. You are before me in my court. I order you to set the table. Charlene said, no. Set the table or I find you guilty. Charlene looked up at the skunk judge and said, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You might be the boss of you, but not the boss of me. And the baby skunk, who had come along, said, order in the court, I find the defendant guilty. Take her to the king. There was the skunk king was, sitting on the skunk throne, large and smelly. That's how they got there, I guess. And the judge said, your royal highness. And the king said, yes, judge. Something's wrong in your kingdom. My kingdom. Smells fine to me. It's Charlene, the skunk in the middle. She won't set the table. Won't set the table. I think she will, Charlene. I am your king. Set the table. Charlene looked up the skunk king and said, no. I'm the king of all the skunks. You're a skunk. Set the table now. Charlene said, no. Set the table now or else? Charlene looked up at the skunk king and said, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You might be the boss of you, but not the boss of me. And the baby skunk said,
Uh-oh.
The skunk king rose from the skunk throne, looked down at Charlene, the skunk in the middle, and said, Charlene! Charlene, would you please set the table? And Charlene said,
Why, sure. I'd be happy to, since you asked me so nicely.
He said, Why, thank you very much. He said, You're very welcome. What are you doing for dinner?
Well, I don't know. Didn't have any plans.
Well, come back over to our house and bring the judge and the chief of police, too. He said, Well, I think I will. And I did. They went back to Skunk House on Skunk Lane. And Charlene set the table, even though it was not her turn, because someone had asked her politely, and they had a very nice meal. But at the end of the meal, they looked up at the job chart to see whose turn it was to clear the table, and whose turn do you think it was? Charlene's. But she didn't feel like doing it because she was exhausted from setting the table. Those chores are so demanding. So, you know, you have to open the drawer and take the forks and knives and spoons out. It's just, she's worn out. So rather than do it herself, she turned to the baby skunk and she said, Hey, baby skunk, clear the table.
And the baby skunk said, No.
She said, I'm the skunk in the middle. You're the baby skunk. Clear it now. And the baby skunk said, No. And she said, Clear it now or else. And don't forget, you learn what you're taught. And you're taught by example. Because the baby skunk looked up at Charlene, the skunk in the middle, and said, You're not the boss of me, you're not the boss of me. You might be the boss of you, but not the boss of me. And everybody said,
That was the wonderful storyteller and musician Bill Harley. You may be the boss of you, but not the boss of me, right? We've brought Bill's story to the Appleseed before, and he was also the creator of Quentin Manning Detective for Justice, an audio adventure about middle school detectives Quentin and Sam. And you can find that adventure at byuradio.org, on the BYU Radio app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Quentin Manning, Detective for Justice. And listening to Bill's story reminds me of some of the first steps in my own life toward understanding that I could make my own decisions about things. When I was little, we might go to a fast food restaurant on a long trip, and my mom would order for me the smallest hamburger on the menu, and the smallest order of French fries, and a small drink. And that's the way it was. I was small, so the burger was small, and the fries were small, and the drink was small, always. But then, when I was about 7, I was on a trip just with my dad. We drove and drove and drove, and then the car conked out. And we sputtered into the nearest town and right to a garage, and while we waited for someone to take a look at the car, we went across the street to a fast food place. And I got my usual, small fries, small burger, small drink. And I finished it all up, but the car wasn't done yet, and I was still thirsty. And so I asked my dad if I could have a little more to drink, since we were going to be waiting for a while. And he said, Sure, son, here's a little money. Just go on up to the counter and buy yourself another soda. Well, that was the first time I'd been allowed to do my own ordering at the restaurant counter. I was feeling a little like a grown-up when I put my money down on the counter and asked for a grape soda. And the girl behind the counter said, Sure, what size? And suddenly I realized that while I'd only ever had a small soda before, my dad had given me enough money to buy any size I wanted. And it kind of blew a circuit in my brain, I guess, because I found myself completely unable to decide on what size soda to ask for. And I finally said something like, Oh, whatever size is closest, or something like that. But the girl, getting a little impatient, made me choose. I think I went crazy and ordered a medium. I'd get better at being the boss of me, of making my own decisions. But that memory still stands out for me as an important baby step along that road. And it comes back to me as a reminder that I'm the only one who can make a lot of the important decisions that will determine how my life will unfold. Well, that's where Bill's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? There's a lot yet to come on today's episode, but I wanted to take just a moment to introduce you to another one of the shows from among the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called Constant Wonder. It's hosted by Marcus Smith, and in every episode of Constant Wonder, Marcus will have a riveting conversation with an individual whose life has been touched by the awe and wonder in nature, human nature, or the natural world. It's all phenomenal. Uncover captivating stories that shed light on the wonders of creation. And you'll walk away feeling a little awestruck yourself from just about every episode. It's Constant Wonder with Marcus Smith. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to Constant Wonder whenever you like. Get a little dose of awe. Constant Wonder from BYU Radio. It's a pleasure to be with you today on The Appleseed. Here's a story by Charlotte Blake Alston. It's the story of another strong girl who's trying to stand up for herself. But this time, it's not a skunk child, but rather a girl made of chocolate cake. Here's Charlotte with the Chocolate Cake Girl.
So like often when I'm in front of, especially in front of children's, I'm a former educator. I do have former educator disease. But to present versions of stories so kids can see how many different ways a story can be told and that they can tell a story in their own voice. So this is my own adaptation of a story that I think everybody is familiar with. And I'll give you the chorus. Ha, 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 he, he, he. You might be fast, but you can't catch me. I can leap and I can twirl. You can't catch me. I'm trapeze. And of course, that sounds like the Oh, thank you. I'm so glad some grown-ups were able to answer that question. The Gingerbread Man. So this is my unique take on that story. I have a friend whose name is Keisha. And Keisha loves chocolate. Who loves chocolate in here? Yeah, I heard an audible response just now, actually, yeah. So for her 7th birthday, her mom said, now, Keisha, I'm going to bake you a nice chocolate birthday cake, but it's not going to be any old chocolate cake. I'm going to bake you a little chocolate cake girl. So she mixed up all of her ingredients. What's in my hand? Big spoon. What's under my arm? A bowl, yeah, we didn't have mixers when I was little. You just plugged into the wall. You had to beat that batter and beat that batter 100 strokes. I asked my mom, what happens if you beat it 99? She said, the cake will fall. So she beat that batter and beat that batter 100 strokes. She poured it into a pan that was shaped just like a little ballerina girl. She got some candy. She made eyes. She made a nose. She made a smile. She got some icing. She made a ballerina skirt and some ballerina slippers. She opened that oven door, put that chocolate cake girl inside, shut that door, turned that oven on, and she was smelling good. And then her mom said, now, Keisha, the big birthday surprise is your dad and I are taking you to the circus. And when you get hungry, you can just break off pieces of that chocolate cake girl. You can eat her for your snack. Well, that chocolate cake girl was done in the oven. Her mom opened that oven door, took her out, sat her down to cool. Keisha went to get her lunchbox. She came back in the kitchen, opened up that lunchbox. Her mom turned that pan upside down over Keisha's lunchbox. She hit it one good time. Bap! Can you hit it one good time? Bam! And that chocolate cake girl fell right inside of Keisha's lunchbox. She closed that lunchbox and off they went to the circus. They saw all kinds of things at the circus. They saw fat people and skinny, weeny, 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 weeny people. And they saw short people and tall people. And then a mom said, now, Keisha, it's time for us to go into the big tent to see the big show. Ah! There were thousands of people in the big tent. They were clapping. They were cheering, yay! Meanwhile, inside that lunchbox, it was getting hot in there. That little chocolate cake girl could hear the crowd making all that noise. And then at one point, you heard the crowd go, whoa, can you do that? Whoa. There happened to be a teeny hole on the side of Keisha's lunchbox. That chocolate cake girl stuck her eyeball up against that hole. She said, wow. She saw some creatures that kind of looked like her, except they had big shoes and big noses and wild and crazy hair. What were those? Clowns. And then, oh, she saw some big gray animals with long noses. What were those? And then she heard the crowd go, whoa! She looked up. She could not believe her eyeball. There was a young man hanging by his legs from a trapeze swing way in the air. There was a girl swinging from another trapeze swing. Then she let go. She did a flip in the air and was caught by the young man hanging by his legs by the other trapeze. That chocolate cake girl said, wow, I would love to do that. But right at that moment, Keisha felt some rumblings in her tummy. She was just starting to get a little bit hungry. So she released the latch on her lunchbox and opened up the lid. But that was the chocolate cake girl's chance. She jumped out of that lunchbox. She landed on Keisha's knee and she said, ha, 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 he, he, he. You might be fast, but you can't catch me. I can leap and I can twirl. You can't catch me. I'm trapeze girl. And skippity whippity jumpity wumpity, she was gone. She hopped and skipped and twirled and flipped, and she landed in the center of the ring in front of a big nose clown. He said, little chocolate cake girl, you smell delicious. Come here. She looked at him and she said, I have run away from a little girl, and I can run away from you, too. Ha, 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 he, he, he. You might be fast, but you can't catch me. I can leap, and I can twirl. You can't catch me. I'm trapeze girl. And skippity-whippity-jumpity-wumpity, she was gone. She hopped and skipped and twirled and flipped, and oh, she landed on top of an elephant's head. He lifted his trunk and he went, little chocolate cake girl, you smell delicious. Come down here. She leaned over and she looked into one of those elephant's eyeballs and she said, I have run away from a little girl and a clown, and I can run away from you, too. Ha, 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 he, he, he. You might be fast, but you can't catch me. I can leap, and I can twirl. You can't catch me. I'm trapeze girl. And skippity-whippity-jumpity-wumpity, she was gone. She hopped and skipped and twirled and flipped, and she, she landed on a trampoline. She jumped higher and higher and higher, just as one of the flying Finelli acrobats was swinging by on his trapeze. She grabbed that trapeze and he said, a little chocolate cake girl, you smell it delicious. Come here. She said, I have run away from a little girl and a clown and an elephant, and I can run away from you, too. Ha, 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 he, he, he. You might be fast, but you can't catch me. I can leap, and I can twirl. You can't catch me. I'm trapeze. Wet! But skippity-whippity-jumpity-wumpity, she was gone. She hopped and skipped and twirled and flipped, and she landed right in front of the lion's cage. Little chocolate cake girl, you smell delicious. Come here. She looked at that lion and she said, I have run away from a little girl and a clown and an elephant, and an acrobat, and I can run away from you, too. Ha, ha, ha.
excuse me. I didn't quite hear what you said. Could you come a little closer and say that again, girl?
That little chocolate cake girl got a little bit closer to that lion's cage, and she said, I said, I had run away from a little girl and a clown and an elephant and a trapeze artist, and I can run away from you too. Ha, ha, ha.
I don't hear so good since I've been in captivity. Could you come right over to my ear and say that again, girl?
That little chocolate cake girl put her whole body right against the lion's ear. And she said, I said, but as she was talking, the lion took his paw and started to reach through the bars of his cage to snatch up that little chocolate cake girl. When whoosh! She was snatched up by one of the flying finale acrobats. He had seen the whole thing from his trapeze. He grabbed her just in the nick of time. He said, little chocolate cake girl, I don't want to eat you. I want to know if you would join the flying finale family. You are good. And that's just what she did. They gave free tickets to Keisha and her whole family. And somebody made a song of a song. She floats through the air with the greatest of ease, the chocolate cake girl on the flying tree. And if you go to the circus, you still might see her because she still flies with the flying finales. But she makes sure not to get too close
to the lion's cage.
That was Charlotte Blake Alston with The Chocolate Cake Girl. Did you ever have to stand up for yourself against people who were bigger and more powerful than you? Was there a time when you tried to boss someone smaller than you? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can message us through our social media channels or email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Bill Harley and Charlotte Blake Alston for their tales today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. The rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.